Welcome to the Apple Context Machine, a podcast about all things Apple with your hosts, Jeff Gamet and Brian Chaffin.
Today is January 30th, 2010, and this is the Apple Context Machine, episode number 161, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor for TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, Linux fan. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at ACM.
Pew, 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 pew. Pew, 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 pew.
At macobserver.com.
You know.
Inside jokes.
Yeah. And awesome gunshots.
And yes, awesome gunshots. Hey, you know, before we go any further, Macworld is coming up. It's a few days away.
It's mere days away.
It starts, so we're recording this on the 30th.
And it starts on what, the 8th?
Starts on the 9th.
The 9th.
Right, show floor opens.
Well, see, I'm so excited, I wanted it to come earlier.
Fair enough. So it's basically a week and a half away. And, of course, our Cirque du Mac party is Thursday, February 11th.
Right.
And the Cirque du Mac party, if you're not familiar with it, is our it's sort of an industry party that we throw during Macworld. It's one of the only parties during the week that is not a schmooze fest.
That's an excellent way to put it. And it's a kick-ass party.
It is. It's we get lots of people that show up, and the entertainment is by the Macworld All-Stars, which is...
That's an excellent band.
Thank you, because I'm in it. It's you know, me and Dave Hamilton and Paul Kent, president of IDG, Chris Breen, the awesome, awesome writer and fantastic keyboard player, Chuck Latornis and Dwayne Straub, and Bob Levitis, who play, we do cover music. We practice once a year whether or not we need it, and then we play the party. but you know, Paul and Dave and Chuck and Chris are such fantastic musicians.
As are you. And I know, I absolutely understand that you're just too modest.
It is not a modesty thing. I am not in their league. I'm just not.
Oh, please. I have heard you play.
No, I am probably a better songwriter than those guys, but they are excellent musicians, and I am an adequate musician.
You are far better than you think. And you know what? Sometimes it's best just to accept that I'm not going to give up on it.
Okay, so fine. Thank you. Nonetheless, those four guys anchor us. And so because of them, we're able to get away with practicing once and playing the party. But it's a fun night. It's a fun night. You wouldn't believe, you know, it's I don't know. To me, it's the first time I saw the All-Stars play, I wasn't in the band. And it was just, you know, fantastic to see, you know, Bob and Paul and Chris and Dave. I hadn't met Chuck at that point. And, you know, it's a fun night. And it's a great venue. We're doing it at Broadway Studios again. But you can only get in with a ticket.
That's true.
Which is why we're mentioning it.
Yeah. So, geez, wouldn't it be awesome if some of our listeners could get in?
Yeah, let's do that. If you're going to be at Macworld and you want to go to Cirque du Mac, we're going to give away two tickets here on the show. You need to send us a note at ACM.
Pew, 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 pew.
At MacObserver.com. Thanks, Melissa.
Melissa rocks.
Yeah, she does. And that sound effect. Oh, that just kills me. Oh, it really kills me. Anyway, send us a note at ACM.
Pew, 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 pew. Pew, 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 pew.
At Mac, and it's so stunningly realistic.
It is. At macobserver.com and put Cirque du Mac in the title. That's C-I-R-Q-U-E. Du Mac. D-U-M-A-C. And give us your name and contact information, and we'll do a drawing for two tickets. One person wins two tickets.
Cool. That means you can bring a date.
That means you can bring a date or a friend. But please only enter if you can go. Tickets are very limited.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, which is why we're only giving away two.
It, It's as they say in the vernacular, exclusive.
It is actually. It's a fairly exclusive party with a lot of people.
Yeah.
and it'd be great if some of our listeners could come. So.
Yeah, it'd be a blast. And if you're going to be at Macworld, and you happen to see us on the expo floor or somewhere, come up and say hi, because it's always nice to meet the people that are listening.
Exactly. Exactly. Please do. And a little hint, if you don't win tickets from us, you can probably hit up someone that works for the magazine at the show.
Hmm. Oh, see, so that's an added incentive to find us at the expo, because if we happen to have a couple extra tickets.
Yeah, which we probably won't, but, you know, you can always try.
Yeah, you can ask, because what's the worst that's going to happen? We'll say we don't have any.
Yeah, and it'd be great to see there.
Yeah.
I'm talking to you. All right.
Oh, hey, it's going to be great to see me there.
No. I'm talking to the one person that's listening.
Oh, that's right. And yeah, Brian, that's not true. I think there's three people that listen.
Oh, fair enough.
Fair enough. All three of you, we love you.
And until this, of course, this is the last time they'll listen to us.
It was great knowing you.
Yes, thank you. All right, so that's it. Cirque du Mac, ACM.
Pew, 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 pew.
At MacObserver.com. And Cirque du Mac in the title. And we're going to do a little drawing here, and we'll give away a couple tickets. I don't know that we'll have another show before the before the Cirque du Mac. It also will actually reply to everyone that enters and let you know whether or not you won. And we'll do the cutoff. We'll make the cutoff next Friday.
That seems reasonable. So what is that?
February 5th.
February 5th.
Yeah.
Okay.
February 5th.
February 5th it is.
It gives people a few days to listen to the show and actually be able to enter.
Right.
Okay. And, this is the iPad earnings report show. So let's get to it.
Sounds good. Apple finally brought its unicorn out of the stable and introduced the iPad this week. More than 140,000 apps are available at the App Store now, and Apple reported yet another record-breaking quarter.
Apple CEO Steve Jobs introduced the iPad, the company's long-rumored tablet device, during a special media event in San Francisco on January 27th. True to many of the rumors, the iPad runs the iPhone OS and iPhone apps, includes a 9.7-inch multi-touch screen, and supports Wi-Fi wireless networking and Bluetooth. For users on the go, it offers a built-in digital compass up to 10 hours of usage time. It weighs a pound and a half and includes optional 3G wireless data connectivity that isn't technically locked to a specific carrier. The iPad runs iPhone apps natively, though developers can code their apps for the device's larger display, and Apple rewrote several of its own apps to take advantage of the new device's capabilities, including Address Book, Safari, Mail, a Photo Viewer, and more. The iPad will be available in March in 16GB, 32GB, and 64GB versions, starting at $499 US. The 3G option will be available in 90 days and cost 130 pounds more.
Apple looks to be taking on Amazon's Kindle with the iPad, its new iBooks eBook Reader app, and its iBook Store for buying eBooks. The iBooks app sports a bookshelf-style interface for managing eBooks, and users can purchase and download titles from Apple's new iBook Store service right in the iBooks app. Penguin, HarperCollins, Simon & Schuster, Macmillan, and Hatchet are on board with iBook Store, and no doubt more publishers are on the way. Conspicuously missing from the publisher list during Apple's iPad introduction event, however, was McGraw-Hill. And that's the company whose CEO was talking about the iPad on CNBC ahead of Apple's official announcement.
Oops.
Yeah, oops.
Oops.
Yeah, he got, what, ATI'd?
Yeah, he didn't seem to get ATI'd. Now, one of the interesting aspects of the new iPad is that it is the first device to use an Apple-branded processor, in this case, the Apple A4, which was designed by the engineering team of PA Semi, which Apple acquired in April of 2008. Now, this is significant because it marks a new era in Apple's pursuit of controlling the whole widget and definitively answers the question of what Apple intends to do with the chip company. Clearly, Apple intends to power some or most likely all of its mobile devices with processors that it utterly controls. Now, the A4 is a 1 GHz processor from the StrongArm family, a chip design that PA Semi specialized in before its acquisition and for which the company's CEO, the unfortunately named Daniel W. Dobberpool, was the original lead designer. Sorry, Daniel. It includes an integrated graphics processing unit, or GPU, and possibly some other functions that we will learn more about once the iPad gets disassembled by companies like iSupply.
And during the iPad media event, Steve Jobs announced that the App Store now has more than 140,000 apps available. He did not, however, update the number of apps that had been downloaded, repeating the 3 billion figure announced by the company earlier this year. It was only in December 2009 that Apple crossed the 100,000 app mark, which suggests the company has redoubled its efforts to hasten and smooth the application approval process.
Though it seems eclipsed by the tidal wave named iPad, the big news at the beginning of the week was actually Apple turning in yet another record quarter on Monday, with revenue for the December quarter clocking in at $15.68 billion and profits of $3.83 billion, which is an earnings per share of $3.67. Now, those results compare to revenue of $11.88 billion and a net quarterly profit of $2.2 billion in the year-ago quarter. Analysts had been expecting a profit of $2.06 on an EPS basis on revenue of only $12 billion. In a statement, Steve Jobs bragged that if you annualize the company's revenue, Apple is now a $50 billion a year company, which ain't bad if you're into that sort of thing, you know what I'm saying? Now, Apple sold some 3.36 million Macs during the quarter, representing a 33% increase over the year-ago quarter. A new record. Apple also sold 8.7 million iPhones, representing 100% year-over-year unit growth.
Holy crap.
Yeah, while iPods clocked in at 21 million units, only an 8% decline over the prior year, despite the maturity of the product line. And lastly, on Friday, I put out a call asking readers to tell me what they would do with an iPad. As I said in that piece, I'm not interested in hearing what you can't do with an iPad. The success of this device will hinge on what you can do with it. So shoot me a note at ACM at MacObserver.com and tell me, what are you going to do with an iPod? What would you do with an iPod? Now, we're going to publish...
Or an iPad.
Good Lord. Thank you. We're going to publish the best submission. So remember...
succinctness is next to steveliness.
Indeed. And that sound means that it's time for the Context Machine. Now, that's where Jeff and I delve a little more deeply into the news to provide context for what's going on and what we like to call the Context Machine within the Context Machine.
We're like our own little egg roll enigma.
let's start with earnings, because I think we probably have a lot more to say about the iPad.
Okay, that sounds totally reasonable. So, wow. Okay, so first fiscal quarter of the year, mm-hmm. and it turns out to be their best quarter ever again.
Yeah, well, of course, the December quarter is pretty much always the best quarter of the year.
Right, because that accounts for holiday sales as well.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And Apple does sell a lot of devices for Christmas presents and whatnot, in particular, of course, since the iPod was announced.
Yes, that's true. And so this year we had a full lineup of iPods, including a refreshed iPod Touch, plus the iPhone 3GS.
Right.
So that was a pretty nice portable or handheld lineup right there.
Right. Although with so many iPhones sold in the quarter, I kind of wonder how many of those were self-presents.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, not at all. It's just kind of an interesting breakdown in the numbers, but... I'm afraid I don't have those answers. Now, what I think was even more interesting, though, is that Apple continues to outgrow the market with its Mac sales.
Yeah, that's actually really interesting, especially considering how many people out there complain about the pricing of Apple's laptop and desktop products.
Right. Noisy people say that they're too expensive, and then people buy them.
So it sounds to me like they're not too expensive, because if they were, people wouldn't buy them.
Yeah, either that or people recognize the value proposition that a product that works offers.
Sure. And then there's also the whole argument, if you compare an Apple computer to another company's computer with comparable specifications, the Mac isn't going to cost any more, typically, and in many cases will cost less.
Right. And I think it's really important, if you look at the iMac line, the 27-inch iMac was by all accounts a raging success during the quarter. It seems like people are very, very interested in this compact design that has everything that they need.
Yeah, and when you get that big screen in there, it can also function as, in some cases, as like a home entertainment system too.
Yeah, it can. I'm still not sold on the idea of people moving their computers into the living room. I still think that computers that are being used as you know, media centers, to use the Windows term, are more likely to be in, you know, dorm rooms and home offices than they are in living rooms. That's kind of what I think.
I think you're right. And so when I'm thinking home entertainment systems, I'm picturing people in their college dorms that don't have a lot of space, and they want to have a good computer plus a nice home theater system.
You know, I've got a friend, Andrew P. Stevenson, and he uses he keeps his iMac on the kitchen table for his family. I'm sorry, he's an adult. He's got a family, and the family uses it there. Now I can see people watching TV and, you know, using a computer as a media device in the kitchen too, I guess is my point.
Sure, I can see that. And well, and actually, with Andrew's family, I can really see that.
Right, exactly. So I don't know. Anyway, but the I guess the point is that you have a device like the iMac, and if you remember how much noise was made about the lack of expandability, the lack of expansion slots.
Oh, right.
In the original iMac, and how that was, you know, such a deal killer, and all these other things. And you know, the iMac has been pretty much a massive and raging success since its introduction, and that continues today, even while there is a movement towards the portable line for Macs and PCs. The iMac continues to sell well.
It does. And well, if you look at what you get for your money, I mean, it's a really nice bargain.
Yes.
I mean, you have a computer that in many cases can be used as a professional machine. And it includes a very nice display, plus all the other things that you need to get up and running. And it's all in one little box. Pull it out, plug it in, and away you go.
Yeah, tiny footprint, all that sort of thing. Apparently, people recognize and recognize the value proposition offered by that, despite the naysayers.
Yeah, and so good for them for having vision beyond what the naysayers are spewing.
So the platform continues to grow, and I think that you know, as we see a lot of development flocking to the iPhone and probably flocking to the iPad as well, so that would be my guess. I think that developers are finding that they can also make a living on the Mac platform.
Oh, sure. Well, I mean, if you look at what Apple's done with their portable devices, They really have created what analysts were calling, or still are calling, the halo effect.
Right.
Where people are getting in, they're comfortable with the devices, they really like them, and thinking, well, you know, if this iPod or iPhone is this good,
all that and a bag of chips.
Exactly. Then maybe I should take a look at a Mac Mini as a second computer, or maybe it's time to look at an iMac when I need to replace my PC.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it happens a lot.
Now, I think one of the big things about the quarter, to me, I was really surprised to see that they sold 21 million iPods and that they only saw an 8% decline year over year. And when you couple that with having sold 8.7 million iPhones, which certainly the iPhones have cannibalized the iPod product line to a certain extent.
Sure.
That is a remarkable feat, or just a remarkable feat to still sell 21 million iPods, when it seems like everybody and their brother already has about five of them.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, yeah, the number of people I know that have at least one iPod is surprisingly high. I would venture to say most everyone I know owns at least one iPod, and several of those people own two or more.
Right, and of course, Apple is certainly benefiting from a movement to the iPhone Touch, as people consolidate, you know, their prior iPod usage.
Wait, the iPhone Touch?
iPod Touch, sorry.
Did you just break an NDA?
Oops. Sorry. Oops. Too many iPod products circulating in my head, I suppose. I meant, of course, the iPod Touch. You know, I've got friends who have talked about having an iPod Touch in lieu of an iPhone because, you know, for whatever reason.
You know, actually, I see... at least from where I'm sitting, a great argument for having an iPhone and an iPod Touch.
You have some people standing outside your window arguing?
It's weird. What has happened to this neighborhood? It has gone downhill. Oh, man. First baby bunny disappears. Now I have people arguing outside my window.
I think there's a perfectly good reason to be using an iPod Touch. I don't know, man. I think an iPhone is really
good. Dude, I can hear them arguing outside the window.
They're loud. And apparently this isn't double pane glass because yeah.
We are ridiculous.
You know, this is why we can't have nice things.
Did you see, by the way, Microsoft's chairman Bill Gates on The Daily Show?
No, he was on The Daily Show.
He was on The Daily Show. I can't believe we didn't talk about this in our morning staff meetings, but he was on The Daily Show, and Jon Stewart, I forget the exact wording, but Jon Stewart made a crack about listening to, or like how everybody either had an iPod or you know, everybody should get an iPod or something to that effect, and then he said, I mean, Zune. Everybody should get a Zune. For which Bill thanked him when it came out. So that was kind of a nice touch.
You know, I'm thinking all 10 people that have Zunes probably like them.
I guess. I don't know. More power to them.
Go people.
Yeah. I would actually like, as with all things, competition's good. I would like to see the Zune take some... take a little bit of market share from Apple and the iPod, only from the standpoint of I want to see iPod or Apple pressed to continually make the product better.
You know, I would love to see someone be able to compete with Apple on a serious level with the iPod.
Or the iPhone.
Or the iPhone. I just don't see that being Microsoft.
No, it's not. It won't be Microsoft. And no. Quite frankly, it's the Droid's not there either. Yet.
No, you know, I'm hoping that the Nexus One or whatever comes after the Nexus One from Google.
The Nexus 2.
Yeah, the Nexus 2. I guess that would make sense. It would be kind of stupid to start with Nexus 1 and then have Nexus B.
Or the Nexus Next. I like the Nexus Next. Or maybe and for after that one, it could be the Nexus After.
Yes.
All right, bad jokes.
And see, I laugh. I keep encouraging you. I know. What's wrong with me?
You shouldn't do that. It's bad. It's bad form.
I know. And I can't help myself. And so to all three of our listeners, I apologize.
Yes. So back to the quarter thing. Huge quarter. It was fantastic. Apple stock actually fell during the week. It went up after the announcement, and then the iPad had its media event, and it actually went up that day, which really surprised me.
Yeah, well, it was kind of interesting because it looked like to me, and keep in mind, I see the delayed stock data, mm-hmm. but it looked like to me as Apple was revealing features, and they hadn't revealed the stuff that came later in the presentation, the stock was going down.
Yeah, it did go down during the early minutes of the media event.
Right. And then as more features were being revealed, the stock went back up, and then it went up.
It was the price tag.
Quite a bit.
It was the price tag.
Yeah.
The price tag was what sent the stock up. That, I think, got investors really excited. And what happened since then, on Thursday and Friday, the stock dropped 4% each day. So I think it closed on Friday at a little over 192.
Now, the whole market has been going down, though, right?
Yeah, there was a lot going on there. I actually looked for, because President Obama had his State of the Union address.
Right.
And in that State of the Union address, he bagged on the banks. And usually when the president bags on the banks, or he's got a plan out to limit bank size and some other things like that. And the markets have reacted negatively to that because, well, it's not good for, you know, large corporate right. profits. And I mean, and that's that. I'm not getting into the debate on whether or not it's good for the economy or a wise idea. I'm talking specifically about market reaction here. And I looked for some analysts blaming the tech sell-off that happened on Thursday and Friday on the State of the Union address, and I couldn't find anything. So, I mean, which it kind of to me seemed like analysts were not blaming the pullback on on the State of the Union address. But I did find at least one analyst, and I mentioned this in a piece on Friday, who basically said that some of the tech sell-off represents profit sharing, and that's profit sharing based on fear that if they don't take some profits now, they might not get to.
Ah, okay.
Which is different from profit sharing is because I can.
Right. Okay. So this was more like a protective measure.
Yeah. And did I say profit sharing? I meant profit taking.
You did.
Which did I say?
You said profit sharing.
Okay, I meant profit taking. I did mean profit taking.
And see, my babblefish translated that right in my ear.
Unfortunately, I don't know that all our readers know me well enough to have the babblefish properly attuned to brain ease.
Well, you know, yeah, I guess that's a problem.
Yeah. So it's a good thing we clarified it. I don't think that the sell-off that occurred on Thursday and Friday, I don't really think that was a condemnation of Apple's profits or a condemnation of the iPad itself. If anything, we had a big run-up before the iPad's release, and the stock just couldn't live up to that.
Sure. And with the rest of the market kind of going down anyhow.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, Microsoft turned in a big quarter, too. I think that Amazon did well. So there are actually a lot of reasons for techs not to pull back, but investors were dumping shares anyway.
Right.
I would imagine that it'll be a small correction. Well, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to keep watching. And there's a lot of irrationality that goes along with the market.
Especially Apple stock.
Yeah. So who knows what's going to happen.
Exactly. Speaking of that, I don't even have a good segue. Let's talk about our sponsor.
Okay.
Smile on
my mic. Wait, maybe I can come up with a good segue.
Okay.
And, no, I can't.
Dude.
I thought I could. I was going to say something like, and speaking of puppy dogs and rainbows.
Exactly. So puppy dogs and rainbows, Smile on My Mac, PDF Pen Pro. They're our sponsor this week. Hooray.
That's awesome. I love PDF Pen.
I know. We get to talk about it quite a bit, which is cool.
We do. And for those of you that don't know what PDF Pen Pro is, it's a really cool application that lets you go in and do some manipulation with PDF documents.
So you can create and edit PDF documents.
Yes. Yes. And you can go in. One of the ways I use this, because I actually really do use this all the time, I have my signature as a graphic that I just keep in one of the little palettes that's in PDF Pen Pro. Mm-hmm. And so when I get documents emailed to me that I need to sign, I just open them in PDF Pen Pro, drag my signature on, and then I can save it as a new PDF and send it back.
Excellent.
And yeah, and I can fill in fields that need to be filled out without having to print things and write and then scan and then send back. It saves me tons of time. And if you have multiple PDFs you need to group together or pull apart, whatever, it can do all that stuff. And it costs so much less than Adobe Acrobat.
All of which are very good things.
Yes. And easy to use. And it comes from an awesome company that does a great job of taking care of their customers.
Indeed. And I love that.
So do I.
So what they're offering is actually right now, ooh, we're going to have to mix our messages because right now there is a discount still for a disc label.
That's okay. I'm more than happy giving our listeners the inside scoop on ways to save a couple bucks.
Right. And you can find that offer at smileonmymac.com/AWR, which stands for our old name, and we're still working that out. And where disc label is $28.76 instead of $35.95, that's 20% off.
That's really nice.
That is really nice. And the PDF Pen Pro is priced at, I think, $99.95. Is that right?
That sounds right.
And PDF Pen, the other version of it, is priced at $49.95.
The difference between the two is that with PDF Pen Pro, you can do all of that stuff with creating forms people can fill out.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. And we should also mention, by the way, I think that, was it version 4.5 of PDF Pen that they added the new OCR engine?
Yes. It's an excellent OCR engine. So if you actually need to scan documents and have the text editable, and in a way that's not going to just kill you to have to redo everything, mm-hmm. they have a really good professional OCR engine built into PDF Pen and PDF Pen Pro.
Which is fantastic. And they even won a Macworld Eddy Award for 2009.
Oh, well, they totally deserve it.
Indeed. Indeed. So those are our friends at Smile on My Mac. That's smileonmymac.com/AWR. Please visit that link. Right?
Yes. Please visit that link. See, this is what happens when I try and take a quick drink while you're saying something. You end your sentence earlier than I anticipate.
Fair enough. And funny enough, I was drinking when you said that.
See?
Oh, the world of podcasting.
You know, podcasting is a double-edged sword because it empowers so many people to be able to get their message out. But it also empowers so many people to get their message out.
So I've got a question for you.
Okay. Okay.
That was very funny. I'm sorry for glossing over that. That was funny stuff right there. But I do have a question for you.
Okay.
What would a podcast be?
A podcast? Mm-hmm.
That'd be what I mean. It seems like a video podcast could be called podcasts.
It could be, except you can watch video podcasts on an iPod.
You can. That's true. That's true. And it doesn't have the ring. Of course, you know, podcast rhymes with broadcast, which is why it came about.
Oh, my God. I never thought of that.
Are you serious? You never thought of that?
That's amazing. What's amazing is that I never thought of that.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
All right. Well, we're going to give you a pass on that one because that is where the name came from, podcast, broadcast, and podcast doesn't work. But let's do talk about the iPad because that was, despite that big earnings announcement, you know, that was the news we'd all been waiting for.
It was. And, you know, all the way up until Steve Jobs held up the iPad, mm-hmm. I was still saying, maybe, but we'll see.
Yeah, fair enough.
And then it turns out that that is exactly what he introduced. And, but, you know, by the time he introduced it, it seemed pretty clear that's what was going to happen. But until Steve Jobs holds something up on stage, I still have to hold back on saying it's really happening.
Right. Well, so let's talk about this. Was it everything that you thought it would be, or you know, do you think that it matches the hype? There was a lot of expectations coming into this thing.
You know, when it comes to matching the hype, holy crap, how can anything match up to the hype surrounding the iPad launch?
Right.
I mean, people were talking about things that this is supposed to be able to do that were just so far beyond what is reasonable.
Well, yeah, most of which were also well beyond what Apple does.
Right.
But that's just nitpicking.
Right. So there were so many things that people were saying were going to be bundled in this It was going to be like the ultimate device. You would buy this. It would do everything you would ever potentially need, including mow your lawn and do your dishes.
Right.
And yeah, and it didn't do all of those things, which is perfectly fine, because if Apple designed a device that did all of that stuff, then they would create something that was absolutely ridiculous and unwieldy, because no one would be able to figure out how to use it. It would be far too complex.
Right. Well, and so let's go to patting me on the back.
Okay. Good job, Brian.
Thank you. And you, of course, are congratulating me because I pretty much pegged what this thing would be almost a year ago.
You did. And that's back when you started talking about what you were calling, for lack of a better word, the iPod Supertouch.
Right. And I think that the iPod Supertouch, while I do not think that the iPad is just an iPod Supertouch, I think that the iPod Supertouch definitely puts you in the right direction in understanding what this thing is.
Right. And I'm actually glad that it's not the iPod Supertouch.
Yeah, well, because that's a bad name.
Yeah. And, well, okay. But feature-wise, I'm glad that there's some differences from what you were predicting, simply because that would have taken all of the surprise out.
Fair enough. Although, I mean, really, there aren't that many differences, to be honest. I mean, I'm gonna quote me. Folks seem to want to be able to do email, tweet, browse the interwebs, maybe do some blogging or light writing. Perhaps others like to watch movies or other video, or maybe listen to some tunes while they're flipping through their photos with the friend. It's pretty much what Apple said that this thing would do.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah,
and you know, and you look at the form factor on this thing, and it's just. I mean, all right, so let's actually move to a different kind of part, because a different thing, in that okay. That I really, I mean, it was just so many people. John Martellaro wrote just an excellent column saying that, you know, there were going to be lots of people who were basically saying that the iPod, what we now know as the iPad, was going to be lacking this or that or whatever, and his point was that the device isn't aimed at them.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. Okay, when you bring that up, I have to tell you what happened actually just last night to me.
Do tell.
I was talking with a friend, and he wanted to talk about the iPad and get my opinion on it. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to talk about it because he wasn't convinced that Apple made the right product, and he was really disappointed with some of the features.
Okay.
Or a certain lack of features. And so before he really started talking, I said, okay, well, I have a feeling that what you're looking for is a device that can run as many applications as you want at the same time. It's basically an open platform where you can install whatever you want. And, you know, and I just went down the list of all these different things. And he says, yes, that's right. And I said, okay, then what you need to do is not buy an iPad. You need to go buy yourself a netbook and install Linux on it. That's what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And when I said that, I could see the look on his face when he realized, oh, I get it now. I'm disappointed with the iPad because Apple didn't make exactly the product that I want. They made this product that serves a certain market. I just happen to not be in that market.
Right. And was this Andrew P. Stevenson?
It was, but I didn't want to call Andrew out by name on that one.
That's okay. We'll name him now.
You know, because he did the whole thing about, well, it doesn't have a camera and all that.
Right. And, you know, it's so the folks who look at this thing and only see what they can't do with it are missing the picture. And that's what I was talking about in my call for submissions. You know, what you can't do with this thing is not the story. Because, you know, you also can't bake cakes with it. I mean, you know, just...
I'm out.
The list of what any device can't do is always going to be much larger than the list of things that it can do. And the difference here is that Apple is effectively creating a whole new product category with different preconceptions and a different list of things that you can do with it. Because one of the things that they said during the event, Steve Jobs said during the event, is if this device, you know, that they started with the question, is there room for a product line between a laptop and between a smartphone.
And Apple is saying, yes, there is.
Yes, there is. If that device can do some things better than a laptop and better than a smartphone.
Right. And so far, what we've seen trying to fit that niche, but not doing a great job, is the netbook line.
Well, right. And I mean, so because the people that have made netbooks only ask themselves, can we make this cheaper than a laptop?
Right. They were looking to make something smaller than a laptop and cheaper than a laptop.
But they weren't asking themselves, can we make it do something better than a laptop? That was never part of the equation.
And that's one of the things Apple is actually very good at. They look at the whole thing.
Yeah, well, and you know, Steve said, if it can't do some things better than a laptop and better than a smartphone, it has no reason for existing.
Right. And the weight of the device is not a good enough differentiating factor to warrant a new product line.
Well, I think of course that message was obviously tailored to meet the preconceived vision that Apple wants us to buy into, right?
Sure.
So, I mean, you know, we have to keep that in mind. But if because one can argue that cheaper than a laptop is for some people a desirable goal in and of itself. Do you see what I'm saying there?
Yes, and yeah, I totally accept that. For some people, the price is the primary or only factor.
Right, and they are willing to accept the inferior experience of working on a netbook for either, say, size or price, whatever. But I think it's still important to again emphasize that Apple didn't start there. Apple actually was looking for a way to make something that would do these things better.
Right. And then they figured out how to do that and keep the price low.
Yes. Yeah. And that to me is huge. And, you know, just like with Macs, you know, you've got people that don't get Apple and don't get the Mac or that don't value the, it just works, solution, who dismiss the Mac because of its price, and yet people are buying it anyway. I think that's what we're going to find here with the iPad, that there are people who are saying there's no camera, so it's a deal breaker. There's no SD card slot, so it's a deal breaker. There's no this, there's no that. So therefore, it's a deal breaker. And in the meanwhile, people are going to go out and buy it.
They are. And the things that so many people are pointing to as deal breakers, for me, aren't. When I saw the first part of the announcement, I thought, oh, please let this be more than just a big iPod Touch. Mm-hmm. And then it turned out to be exactly that, or exactly what I was hoping, more than an iPod Touch. Right. And once the feature lineup had been laid out for us, I went, okay, I get it. This is a device that I actually do need. This would be a very nice device for me when I'm going to conferences and expos.
Yep.
And I'm doing things that don't require me to have my 15-inch MacBook Pro. And so that means if I'm at an event where I don't need to, say, present something that requires Photoshop or, you know, a big application, I really think, get by with an iPad, because I can still write things, I can still get at the internet and upload articles, I can handle my email, all those things that I need to do.
You know what
I can simply do with a pound and a half.
I just came up with a can't.
Okay.
There's a lot of stuff that we do at, say, at Macworld Expo or some other event that we're going to where we use Photoshop.
You know, for a lot of the stuff that I do in Photoshop, uh-huh, I could actually get by with Photoshop Mobile for those quick things that we need to throw in an article. I need to crop something. I need to make like a levels adjustment, and that's about it.
Yeah. Can you do it without a mouse?
Yes. And I say that because of using Photoshop Mobile and some of the other image editing applications on my iPhone. So I could actually conceivably get by at some of these shows without a MacBook Pro. Now, at something like Macworld Expo, I would be taking my laptop along anyhow, because that's such a big show. I need to be prepared for everything.
Right. There's that. And for me, about the only thing that I currently use a laptop for that I couldn't get by with an iPad would be recording music, band rehearsals.
Sure.
Things like that. And for me, I think the iPad would actually work quite well as well. So, you know, it'd be kind of interesting to see if the iPad does end up cannibalizing MacBook sales. But be that as it may, the success of this device is still going to hinge on what people can do with it and not what they can't.
I have a feeling it's not going to cannibalize like MacBook Air sales, at least not to a significant degree. And that's because if you look at the people that can get by with a MacBook Air versus the iPad, okay, the people that need the MacBook Air, they need some other things. They need those full Mac OS X applications.
Well, yeah, there's definitely that.
Yeah, and with the iPad, they don't need all of those full Mac OS X apps. So I see a nice distinction there, but I bet you there will be people that have MacBook Airs that sell them and buy iPads because they bought a MacBook Air, not because it was the right tool, but because it was the smallest tool they could get at the time, and what they really needed was an iPad.
Yeah. Yeah, but I wonder too if Mac just broader MacBook Pro sales won't suffer.
Maybe. But I see a lot of people with laptops that would probably be in the market like me. I'm looking at the iPad and thinking, yes, I have a MacBook Pro. I have a completely portable office, and yet I'm looking at a second device to be a satellite to this when I don't need all of the full desktop horsepower that comes in my laptop.
Right. But, you know, when it comes to one of the things I've talked about using an iPhone a lot for is reading, catching up on news.
Okay. Now, see, that's going to be one of those things that I need to see how it really works, because I've talked to people that own Kindles, and they talk about the reading experience on that and e-ink and not having the extra light shining in their eyes all the time, and how they really appreciate that. How is that going to translate to an iPad, which does the full backlighting?
Right. Yeah. Well, right. We're going to have to see on that one.
Right. But I kind of went off on what you were talking about, that the being able to do news reading and stuff in bed.
Yeah, I didn't really have anything else to add.
Oh, okay. Well, then there you go.
So let's talk about there's a couple of different aspects of apps that I want to talk about. The first is there were some people who were bizarrely thinking this would be a Mac OS X device and that you'd be able to run Mac apps on it. And, I mean, that's just ridiculous.
You know, back when some of the early speculation was going on, I could see some valid arguments for a stripped-down version of Mac OS X.
Well, that's what iPhone OS is.
Yeah, and ultimately, that's iPhone OS. So in that sense, sure. The argument makes sense, but only if it's iPhone OS.
And you know, the thing to understand is that Apple has by controlling the gate or controlling the keys to the gate of the application delivery vehicle, Apple does two things. It ensures the user experience, the quality of the user experience. Right, because there are at least not yet, there are no iPhone apps with any viruses.
Right.
There are no iPhone apps that are going to crash your phone, et cetera. But of course, Apple also gets a piece of the pie.
Right.
And why would Apple not want to extend that? I am sure that if Apple felt they could do that to our Macs, they would.
In a heartbeat.
That if they could control the apps that we install on our Macs or, you know, at the very least, the availability of the apps that we can control on our Macs. I have no doubt that Steve would love that because he's a control freak.
Sure. And that would do for the Mac exactly what he's been able to do when he started fresh with the iPhone.
Yes. But I don't think that, I mean, that cat's out of the bag. People are going to be much less accepting of that. Not to mention the fact that computers are a much more sophisticated and complex platform, and the ways in which people use them is much more sophisticated and complex. That cat's gone out of the bag, escape. You know, that ain't.
Yeah, that cat left the station.
Yes, that cat left the station and spilt milk that went under the bridge.
That's one of the best mixed metaphors I've heard in a long
extended time. Mixed metaphors. But they will and can do it with the iPad, and I think that customers are going to be just fine with that because, again, they're going to really appreciate not only the integration between the iPhone and the iPad apps, the fact that the apps will be able to sync, and the fact that you can use, you know, your apps that you buy for one device on both devices. And the fact that they work is going to be, I think people are going to like that.
Oh, yeah. And I'm okay with the closed system that we'll have for the iPad, simply because it's already proven itself with the iPhone and iPod Touch. And it works just fine. Now, like you're saying, I would not accept Apple doing something like that with the Mac lineup.
Right. And to me, I very much find the value in the trade-off between the openness and the closed system, because the trade-off being that things work, that there aren't going to be any viruses, and all these things, all these benefits of having a closed system, to me, are worth the inconvenience of not being able to play poker on my iPhone and possibly, maybe even probably not being able to play poker on an iPad.
Yeah, but, you know, it would be kind of cool if you could do that. But still, it seems like, at least for me, and sounds like for you, a reasonable compromise because of all the other things that we do get.
Yes.
With our iPhones and eventually with our iPads.
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk about then this other aspect of it, the lack of multitasking.
You know, the lack of multitasking to me is not as big a deal. However, no, let me rephrase that. What I wish that there was a system where I could have more than one application that was available to me very quickly, and that the states of those applications was persistent,
right,
so that I could jump between them. I don't need true multitasking on a device like the iPhone or the iPad. I just need something where I can be in one application and then jump to another application very easily as if I was multitasking.
And Dave Hamilton talked about this. And,
yes.
I guess you coined the term, what did you say, application persistence?
Application persistence.
Which is, again, that sort of, basically leaving an app open, but, not actually running, kind of is what you're talking about. So you can flip back and forth,
right,
between them.
It's like freezing an application state.
Yes.
And the way I'm visualizing this would be, I'll use Mac Observer as an example. If I'm at a conference, I write articles in a text editor, mm-hmm, but then they get published through our web interface.
Right.
So I need to have a web browser and a text editor open at the same time,
right,
so that I can jump between the two as I'm copying content and putting it into our system.
Right. Right. And, plus, we'll be sometimes flipping between Photoshop and the text editor and the browser.
Sure.
We definitely, in the course of doing our jobs of writing news and opinions, we often have to go back and forth between a browser and our editor and that sort of thing. I think that we would find our workflow would be pretty cramped without being able to do that quickly.
Oh, absolutely. But I don't need to be able to do all those at the same time. So just bear with me. When I'm writing an article and I'm sitting at my Mac, mm-hmm, I'm either writing the article, entering it into our system, or working on a graphic in Photoshop.
Oh, come on, man. How many times have you had a browser window? How big is your display?
Okay, so I have the 23-inch display and then my 15-inch display. Okay, so in that sense, I will have a web browser window open.
Yeah, something that I'm referencing behind the document that I'm writing all the time.
Right, but I'm only working in one of those applications at a time. So if my web browser was in a frozen persistent state where I could read the content that I need to look at while I'm writing an article in the active text editor, I'm still only working in one application at a time.
But no, that's multitasking.
App persistence
is going to hide away that inactive app.
Well, see, that's the part where I said I want to have two windows.
I see.
So even if only one of those windows can actually be active at any given time, but I can have two windows open that I can see.
Right.
That would work perfect for me.
Yeah, and the biggest thing for me that I've wanted to do with the iPad is I think the iPad would be just a great online poker playing platform. You know, as long as you're
sure.
If you're running 1 to 3 tables at the most. A lot of people, a lot of really serious online poker players will play, you know, 6, 8, 12 tables at a time. Clearly couldn't do that with an iPad. But 1 to 3 tables would probably work just fine. And I think it would be great for that, assuming Apple allows the poker sites access to the App Store, which remains, you know, I with the gray area that online poker has in legal terms, I kind of really wonder if that's ever going to happen. But let's pretend that it does.
Okay.
The biggest reason I want multitasking is so that I can run a HUD. And what poker HUDs do, like the excellent Poker Copilot, which is one of the only Mac HUDs out there, and is a great piece of software, it gives you basically stats for the opponents that you've played, and as well as yourself, to let you know how loose, how tight you are, how aggressive you are, things like that.
Okay, so in your situation, you clearly need multitasking.
I do because Poker Copilot is not only running in the background, reading hand histories and adding that and parsing it through the database, but it's also giving me an overlay that actually is the HUD. And so that's like the biggest reason why I want multitasking on the iPad. But I think that we'll eventually get that. I think that Apple is eventually going to give us some form of multitasking, although it could well be the application persistence that you and Dave were talking about the other day in our morning meeting.
You know, I can see multitasking or application persistence on the iPad. I would be very surprised to see Apple extend that to the iPhone and iPod Touch. And
I think
maybe not with the current products we have, though.
No, it could well wait. This is something that I said, I guess, in yesterday's morning meeting that we may be waiting for the next major iPhone hardware upgrade.
With PA semi chips in it.
Yeah, with PA semi chips, where Apple can get the kind of battery life that it wants and still, and at the same time have solved all of the other potential problems that multitasking can present on a mobile platform.
Sure. And then Apple also has to figure out an efficient way for us to be able to jump between those applications on the smaller screen.
Right. 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 All right. So in the meanwhile, I love this device. I love the interface. Watching the people that were doing the demonstrations for Apple, mm-hmm. I was struck by how similar to, like, a lot of the gestures and stuff that they were doing were kind of a cross between what was the example I used? Minority Report and what were the examples?
See, I remember you saying the Minority Report part.
Oh, now I'm upset because it was such an obvious comparison.
And now it's gone.
And now it's gone, unless I can find it. Star Trek Next Generation, duh.
Oh, right.
Yeah, Star Trek Next Generation and Minority Report. It was kind of like this cross between the two things. And be kind of interesting to see how that sort of evolves at over time, and you know the ways in which, like, you know, I'm sure that kids will be a lot better at manipulating an iPad than you know, old fogies like us.
Yeah, but at least we have open minds to these new technologies that the whippersnappers are using, and
what?
We can adapt.
What?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Get off my lawn, you kids.
What? Did you say something? I can't hear you.
Yeah, time for your Metamucil.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's going to be interesting. But, you know, the long and the short of it is that I think this device is going to be a huge success, assuming that it does do those tasks, like Apple says, better than a laptop and better than a smartphone. If Apple has found that magic middle point, this thing is going to be a raging success.
I think so. And I think the place where it will cannibalize sales most won't be in Apple's laptop lineup. Instead, it will be in the netbook market.
Ooh. You think so, huh?
Yeah. Well, see, I have already heard people saying, I have a netbook. I turned it into a Hackintosh. I'm selling it for an iPad. Mm. And I think that there's many people out there that have been looking for something like the iPad, but have been settling for netbooks because there was nothing else for them.
Yeah. Well, that's certainly the case. But, you know, but I also think we're going to see a lot of these things eventually sold to schools, especially once some education packages are developed.
Right. And considering the price point, that makes it much more possible.
And more plausible. If Apple would allow vertical markets to sort of take over the iPad, I think it would do well in hospitals and you know, warehouses and whatnot.
Oh, sure.
As long as, like Apple allows corporations to have closed iPhone apps.
Right.
Right.
And since they already do that for the iPhone, it seems a natural and logical extension for that to happen for the iPad.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I can see doctor's offices and you know, and like I said, hospitals and warehouses and a lot of other similar applications, maybe even probably not. Wait, one of the people that wrote in already to tell us what they would do with their iPad talked about the magazine subscriptions in hair salons, and how having four iPads, as long as the magazine subscriptions were cheaper than the paper versions, you know, that they would pay for themselves relatively quickly. For instance,
I think
that same person talked about using the iPad to book appointments. It's like, you know, just to be able to sit there naturally with someone while they're, you know, not when they're trying to rush out, but like, you know, while they're drinking their coffee ahead of time. Apparently, it was a high end salon. While they're drinking their, you know, their espresso or their coffee ahead of time, or maybe even while they're getting their hair done, and just being able to sort of naturally, you know, interact with someone, you know, in an easy and natural way. I think that's important. Waiters, waitresses. I think there are lots of vertical markets where this thing could be huge, especially at that price point with its form factor, if Apple allows those vertical markets to control the device.
Well, I'm thinking that ultimately they will, even if it's not immediately. And I think Apple has kind of tipped their hand towards that simply through the iPod Touch POS systems that they're using. Oh, that was redundant. No, it's not. POS is at point of sale, not point of system. So the POS systems that Apple is using in their own stores now.
I expect those to move to iPads.
That would be totally reasonable. Well, you know, I kind of like them being on an iPod Touch because it's a small device that's very easy for the employees to carry.
Yeah, there's that. And I guess maybe they do lend themselves a little bit more to credit card swiping and stuff, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, but I can definitely see the in-store staff having iPads for other functions too.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Well, you know, we're actually over an hour mark at this point.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
You know what our problem is?
We talk.
We don't know how to stop talking.
Indeed. And I'm sure that we'll have more to say on that. We're going to be recording at least one of our shows, by which I mean one of our shows, hopefully, at Macworld.
That's the plan?
Yep. So we'll probably have two or three shows in February. So, you know, hold your breath.
Yeah. I hope my lips don't get blue.
So send me your submissions at ACM.
Pew, 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 pew.
At MacObserver.com.
That's funny. How does Melissa know just to hop in every time?
Well, she's just right here. She's Johnny on the spot.
She's a true professional.
She is. And put iPad in the subject line. Or what I would, you know, what I want to do with my whatever. Just put iPad in the subject line.
Make sure iPad is in the subject line somewhere.
And if you want tickets for Cirque du Mac, if you're going to be at the show, send us a note and put Cirque du Mac in the subject line.
Perfect. All right. Well, then I guess on that note, this is probably where I need to say, if you have anything to comment on, add, or question, send your audio or text comments to ACM
pew, 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 pew.
At MacObserver.com. And remember, succinctness is next to steveliness. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. Thanks for listening, and thanks for sending us your comments and feedback. And if you want to know more about what goes on in my head, well, more power to you. You can follow me on Twitter. That's at twitter.com/jgamut.
And you can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/TMOBrian. That's Brian with a Y. And I've actually even been tweeting recently. It's kind of weird.
It is. But hey, it's great to see you bouncing around the Twitterverse.
Indeed. Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. That's me and Jeff and John mostly. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for TMO. And thanks to Melissa for her special contributions to the ACM Foley team. That's all for this week.
And as always, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer.
Cannot go, but trapped by lies that we both know. I can't see a way out now. I will not go, no matter how. You push me under, you hold me down. After all, I think I'd rather.